It's time to wish you a Merry Christmas from everyone on the InvestTalk production staff. We thank you for being with us this year, and we wish you the best for 2016. And we'll get to today's InvestTalk coming right up. Steve invites you to check out KPP Financial's Balanced Income Program. This is a fully diversified program designed to reduce risk from any one stock, bond, or sector. And as with all of KPP's programs, one or more of the principals invest their own money alongside their clients, which we call parallel investing. To find out more, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Investments tab, or send Steve a note. Click on Contact Steve on investtalk.com. And now, today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to a Thursday, December 17th edition of InvestTalk. I really appreciate you all being with me. And with me also today is Justin Klein.
Always great to be here side by side with you.
And this is our 1 hour. In case you didn't know, we do sit side by side, probably closer than we want to, because we're both looking at all the screens. So that's why we do that.
We're cuddled up. It's funny, when you stay with my grandpa, sometimes you were in separate places.
Yes. Separate locations.
Separate locations.
That was kind of, it wasn't hard to do. It was just different.
Yeah.
This is the 1 hour forum. We call it our 1 hour forum, kind of a round table discussion about money. We're registered investment advisors, of course, as you probably all know. And of course, that's our day job, managing our clients' retirement portfolios. And we have this 1 hour window of the day to talk to everybody and answer questions for everybody instead of for just solely our clients. Mm-hmm. So that's why we do this show. One of the reasons why we do it. Of course, it's our form of advertisement. No one's making that. That's not a secret to anybody. But we do really want to impart information that's helpful to you and answer your questions.
Yeah, and we do that to our clients. And you talk about how we guide their retirement portfolios. But, you know, we try to help broadly with their whole financial picture. You know, we think of ourselves as financial advisors, not just investment advisors. There's more to somebody's financial picture than just their portfolio. It's, you know, any real estate problems, taxes, trusts, etc., insurance, things like that. And we welcome those questions as well.
Yeah. Now, the Federal Reserve yesterday, decision to raise rates was the big headline story when that was all yesterday. And it really didn't do, the market rallied yesterday. Of course, it gave it all back plus more today. Mm-hmm. But it really didn't do, I don't think you can, the big rally yesterday and giving it all back today, I don't know if you can really assign that to what the Fed did. I don't know if you can.
Well, I think there was a lot of worry going into it. And I think it was kind of the buy the rumor, sell the news type of thing. It was sell the news, sell the rumor, buy the news.
Yeah, I mentioned that yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's probably what it was. But what about today? What changed today? Nothing. It's just a very volatile market we're dealing with.
Yeah, and today was a big sell-off, especially in transports, on huge volume. So it was certainly a very weak day today.
I wrote about it in the market commentary about the Fed and what the effect and the builders' increase in activity in November. I said there was mentioned as 1.1 million annual pace building houses. That's up 10.5%. And permits, the leading economic indicator, was up 11%. So the housing market, even though the prices are softening, it looks like to me, still pretty healthy right now. So one of my talking points is, what did the quarter point really mean? What now? What is it going to do? What do we do about it now? What's happening in the marketplace, the economy, now that it's done? Is anything changed?
Well, I think it's going to be interesting to see how much it feeds into the actual rate markets, you know, treasuries. Rates are up a little bit from early part of the year, but nothing dramatic. And it'll be interesting to see if we make new highs. You know, the highs of the year are around 2.5% on the 10-year treasury. Now we're at 2.25-ish, somewhere in there. So I think that's really where you'll see some worry to the market if that kind of breaks out. And it's looking like it's probably going to at some point, because it is consolidating bullishly on the rate chart, but it might be a couple months.
Yeah, it's 2.29, by the way. What was interesting, though, in the junk bonds and the broader bond market was up today.
Junk? No, not junk bonds.
I think so.
No, it was down big.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. The last 2 days it was up.
Yeah, from a couple days ago.
It's
up, but down big today.
Yeah, and oil reached kind of a new low. And
low in oil.
Yeah, I think we're getting to that capitulation area where if oil goes below $30, there's something majorly wrong with the world. That means there's more of a demand problem than a supply problem, because there's a ton of supply that would come off under $30 a barrel.
Well, so far, demand worldwide is still growing. It's growing only 1-2%, maybe a little bit more. I don't know, but I know it's still growing worldwide, but not here in the United States.
I think it's going to be interesting to see with the whole climate change agreement that they had in Paris. They've set targets, but there's going to be nothing to keep them to it.
Yeah, nothing. Yeah,
it's some general goals, but are people going to stick to it?
In other words, a lot of talk and no action, really, basically.
Well, you see if there is action. You know, it's going to be hard to get all the countries to adhere to what they quote unquote promise. You know, if everything's good and rosy and it's economically feasible to do it, I think they'll do it. But I think that's going to be easier said than done.
See, I think the problem with that whole situation is everybody ignores the gorilla in the room, which is China's pollution. Mm-hmm. Look at how much pollution. You don't even have to be a scientist. Just go and look at pictures of their major cities. Smog, where people wearing masks. It's obvious. But no one, you know, well, we are the biggest polluter, because our economy is much more developed. But
I want to say they've passed us.
Maybe they have.
Because they have less regulation on pollution.
Oh, yeah. You know? Much less.
Yeah. But they're starting to realize it, and they've,
They're saying, wait a minute, this kills people.
Well, yeah.
It costs money.
In some of the big cities in China, they'll tell people not to go outside because the smog is so bad.
Yeah.
There's places where the smog is so bad you can't see the sunset, so they have video screens of the sun setting so that people know the sun is set.
Well, just so you know, we weren't all that, you know, I never like to point fingers out at anybody else before I point fingers at us, because when I went to college in the early 70s and I went in the Valley, L.A. Valley, the Pomona Valley, went to college there, there was smog alerts all the time. Mm-hmm. It was bad.
And that's one thing you have to, you know, government regulation, you know, you can say it's good or bad, but, you know, reducing the pollution from cars and the regulation on improving gas mileage, et cetera, it's worked because
you can't fault it.
Yeah,
you can't say it's worked over time for us.
Yep.
And of course, what we want, you know, we always want to talk to you, and Justin and I could talk for a long time about all these things. But what do you want to discuss? What is the something that's on your mind?
Maybe we just bored people to death with our climate change talk.
Yeah. But we really want to get to the Q&A portion of the program, so 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Hi, this is Tim from Texas. I listen on podcast and love your show. I was wondering about Exxon and Chevron. I've been waiting to get into those stocks, and with oil prices starting to maybe come up a little bit and the new laws about exporting oil, do you think now is a good time or wait a little longer and see how the oil prices shake out over the next couple weeks? Appreciate your advice, and I'll listen on podcast. Thank you.
Well, we currently own both Exxon and Chevron, the two stocks he mentioned, and we like them.
Yep.
We like the fundamentals. We think it's getting very low to a turning point. And if you don't buy them when they're low, what are you going to do? Wait till they get high?
Mm-hmm. Well, the one thing, there's two main themes the reasons I like Chevron and Exxon. One is that they're vertically integrated. They don't just drill for oil, right? They refine oil, certain petrochemicals, etc. So they're vertically integrated. So low oil prices sometimes helps them.
It helps certain parts of
their business. Yeah,
one side of their business.
Yeah. And another thing is you're going to see a lot of companies go out of business. A lot of small, tiny oil companies that have good assets, but they've just over-leveraged themselves with too much debt, and in a market where oil prices are so low, they're not going to be able to sustain themselves. They're going to go out of business. And who's best suited to pick up those cheap assets?
You know they are.
Is Chevron and Exxon, because they're the largest, biggest blue-chip oil companies in the world, and they have the balance sheet to go out there and borrow money to buy these assets.
Even if they have to borrow. Maybe cheap. They don't have to. You
know, well, look at Exxon. They have debt to equity is only 7%.
Yeah.
They almost have no debt. Yeah. So they can go and leverage their balance sheet up. They really haven't gotten too leveraged. And so where they can go out now and borrow money and buy these cheap assets of companies that are going bankrupt or maybe they're in major financial trouble.
So in other words, we like the idea of buying, mm-hmm. and we don't. I think you start putting your toe in the water now. Mm-hmm. And don't bet the farm on any one asset class. Don't ever do that. But I think you do start to
yeah. take. I like the big oil names.
Yeah. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. My economic outlook for December went out this week to our InvestTalk insiders. You can get yours free. Just sign up to be an InvestTalk insider on InvestTalk.com. 888-99-CHART is how you get through to us right now. We're live every day, 4 to 5 Pacific time. So let's talk.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Pete from sunny Vegas. Question I have is, I was talking to a friend of mine, and I was trying to explain to him the little that I know about earnings per share, and generally it's not a good idea to buy when the earnings per share is a minus. He was looking at a stock that was, I think, minus 5.52 earnings per share. He asked me, well, the earnings per share, is that something that is measured since the beginning of the year, the last month, the last 12 months? And I really didn't know. I didn't know how often it changes. We were looking at Yahoo Finance, which if you put in the ticker symbol, the first thing it shows up is, all kinds of stats, shares traded, whatever, and EPS, earnings per share. So if you could answer me the question, earnings per share goes back how far? Is it a month, a year, or is it a rotating revolving change? Anyway, love your show, guys. Thank you very much, Stephen Justin. Love your show. Wouldn't miss it. Take care. Have a nice one, guys. Bye-bye.
It's always expressed in earnings per share per year.
Yeah.
It's annual.
Yeah. And sometimes they're talking about last year's full year. So, for example, you might see something listed today where it's talking about 2014's earnings, right? Which is kind of dated. Right. Sometimes it's talking about what is expected next year. So you'd say, okay, this is the expectation for 2016. But a lot of times and on Yahoo Finance, it's trailing 12 months. So what they do is take the earnings for the last four quarters, and that is what its earnings per share is, the trailing 12 months of earnings. And that's usually how it's expressed.
And that's not much help for you if you're looking to buy something. What was the earnings per share the last four quarters? That's already known.
Mm-hmm.
You always really want to look at what's the earnings per share estimates for the next 12 months.
Yep.
And always remember that's an estimate. That's not accurate, but
usually it's a little optimistic to some degree.
Yeah. So just bear that in mind. Have that in your head. Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
But if you're looking at Yahoo Finance, they have a little box next to it. It says EPS, earnings per share, and then in parentheses it says TTM. So when you see that TTM, that means trailing 12 months.
And yesterday I didn't get to it, but I want to get to it real quick before we have to take a break here. What big money is betting on in 2016? Okay, big money, we're talking about the institutionals. Where are they putting their money? Where are they placing their bets for next year? And this is a poll of 175 money managers. So they did a poll. They're very overweight, says very heavily weighted in stocks and very underweighted in bonds in general. They are overweight or at least optimistic in Europe and Japan. Bank stocks, discretionary consumer stocks, they like those areas. They also predict that the dollar is going to fall. They all think, well, the majority of them think the dollar is going to fall.
Which to me doesn't vibe, One of the biggest reasons that nobody really talks about of why the oil prices are down, obviously there's oversupply, but it's the strong dollar. So if the dollar is going to fall, that should be a nice tailwind to commodity prices, but they seem to think commodity prices are going lower. I mean, oil's at, $35 a barrel?
Yeah.
How much lower can it go? It can't really go much lower.
That's why I put question mark when they're not so high on bonds, oil prices, commodity stocks, emerging markets. All this they think is falling, but they think the dollar's going to fall sharply. It's not just fall. They think it's going to fall sharply.
And if commodity prices fall much lower, I mean, that just says the global economy is in a recession.
Yeah. Well, might be. 888-99-CHART. I want to hear your questions, any money questions you have. 888-99-CHART. I'm Steve Peasley with Justin Klein, and you're listening to Invest Talk. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So let's talk about different ways of looking at portfolio development, we'll call it. And everybody knows the standard portfolio development. You have a mix of bonds and stocks. And over time, that works. And it depends on your age and your risk tolerance. Okay, that works. It will work. But what if you don't have a lot of time? What if you're much more, you're looking closer in? Maybe you should take advantage of what the market gives you.
Yeah, that's a big part of building a portfolio is understanding what is out there in the marketplace and the risks that you would have to take to get certain returns.
We just talked about Exxon and Chevron.
Yep.
Just because we talked about them. Mm-hmm. You get a nice dividend return. Mm-hmm. How much risk are you really taking in those two stocks?
Yeah,
when oil is at near record low that it was when we were in a huge recession,
mm-hmm.
how much risk are you really taking? Now, going to this, is that giving you an opportunity? And is it a high risk or a low risk opportunity?
Yeah. And these are two big blue chip energy names, right?
Right.
But you can build a portfolio with other energy names, right?
Yeah.
Not all energy names are created equal. There are other ones like shale drillers. You know, I think of like an EOG Resources. They're one of the largest shale drillers out there. And that's much higher risk than a Chevron or an Exxon.
That's right.
If oil prices rebound dramatically, Chevron and Exxon will go up, but not as much as some of the other names
that
are having more trouble right now. So it just depends on how much risk you're willing to take. So don't think that all stocks are created equal, all companies in a particular industry are created equal. It's understanding, are they large, small, do they all have a lot of debt? What's their business model? Are they leveraged to a particular commodity or a particular area of the marketplace that if it does well or does poor, that they're going to suffer or do well?
For instance, Exxon and Chevron, no matter how low oil will go, they'll still make money.
Yep.
Because they have refineries. They have the other end.
Mm-hmm.
The input cost for the refinery division is very, very low. It's going down. They're all happy at
and
that size.
And they have assets that have been pumping, they're pumping oil from for decades, you know, and the cost per barrel is
much less.
$10 a barrel, you know.
Well, those assets.
Yeah, where shale drillers, you know, I don't think there's any shale drillers out there that probably have a $10 cost per barrel.
No, more like 60, maybe 70, you know, 50 possibly. But.
Yeah. So that's understand when you're building a portfolio, understand that not all assets in a particular asset class are treated equal. You know, people think of stocks versus bonds, you know, that all bonds are relatively safe.
Uh-oh.
No, look at high yield bonds right now.
Yeah.
You know, people go after that yield and they're taking excess risk and you're starting to see those risks bear, I don't say fruit, but they become a bad apple in the market, and people are starting to realize
that. We talked about that yesterday, about the portfolio that I had recently reviewed, and she was told that this is a conservative portfolio, and then I look in the full portfolio, and they have 50% bonds, but almost all of them were junk bond funds.
Mm-hmm.
And she couldn't understand why they fell so much.
Well,
that's not conservative in my mind, you know.
So sometimes it's taking what the market gives you. Instead of forcing, I need 7% yield or I need 10% yield. No. What is the market offering you for the proper amount of risk you're willing to take?
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. I got a bunch of things I want to talk about before the end of the show. The market today went down 253 points on the Dow, 69 points on the NASDAQ, and 31 points on the S&P. And the market was up large yesterday, but not as large as this. So over the 2 days, the market has gone down.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the market is weak, no matter what you think. It is in a weakened condition.
Yeah.
It came off the lows in the summer, and since then, it just can't seem to get out of it. It's down for the year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some sectors are really hugely down for the year.
And transports, you know, that's the lifeblood of the economy, right? The transport sector, and that's in a clear downtrend below all its major moving averages. And today it was down huge, huge reversal after a quicker little rally the last 2 days on massive volume.
Well, it was You know, I don't know if anybody noticed, but FedEx reported great numbers this morning, and they were very upbeat about the rest of the year, to the year end. They thought that was going great. And yet, transports didn't seem to do very well.
And a lot of the rails are down and pretty much out.
Yeah.
Not doing too well.
Well, they're not doing well because of low oil prices. Mm-hmm. Rails do a lot better when oil prices are high.
Yeah.
Because they burn a lot of oil, but they move a lot more cargo per gallon than a truck.
Yeah, more efficient.
See, it's much more efficient.
So
and, of course, remember, rails, a lot of oil out of the shale area is moved by rail, not pipes, by rail. So that business is kind of drying up.
So the underlying strength of the market is definitely weak, and we're not seeing that breakout. You know, I think we really need to break out to new highs in the S&P for a lot of the issues, underlying issues of the market, to be solved.
Yeah, and, you know, we're anticipating a Christmas rally, but it doesn't have to happen.
And we only have nine more trading days in the year, so it's not like there's much time left to rally.
Yeah, it's got to be – the rally is usually the last half of December. And we're in the last half, and we don't see it yet. We thought we might get a little hope yesterday, but nope, didn't happen. You're listening to Invest Talk, everybody. Coming up next half hour, budgeting doesn't have to be a bad word. 888-99-CHART.
You may never look at a bull market the same way again. After hearing five things young investors need to know about a bull market, that's one of our talking points on the next Invest Talk, and then there's the topic that you might bring up. Please join us then. And thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. This is Invest Talk for Thursday, December 17th. 888-99-CHART is how to reach us right now. What's the difference between good debt and bad debt? What's the best college savings program? What's your question? 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve right now.
This is Corey from Upland. I always listen to you guys on Stitcher Radio. Question about GLW, Corning Company. Wondering if it's a good stock to buy and when would be a good time to buy it and a good time to sell it. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Corning is a GLW is a symbol, manufactures glass substrates for LCDs, optical fiber cables for communication, ceramic, you know, that kind of stuff. Okay, everybody kind of knows who Corning. Sales have been falling. It's hard for me to get excited about Corning simply because I don't see anything to get excited about. It's a big company, $21 billion. It's going to lose 4% in earnings this year, then gain 5% next year. It's going to make $1.46, and it's a decent price stock. It's not overpriced, in other words.
Yeah.
But it can get a lot cheaper too. I mean, historically, it's gotten a lot cheaper. I don't know. What do you think, Justin? It doesn't do anything for me. It's a good, solid company.
I would say it's on the cheap side in history and in the marketplace. But I think it's likely to get cheaper. You know, it's rallied a little bit since its August lows, but it's still pretty weak and it's in a downtrend.
It's had a bad year.
Yeah. One thing I like is they don't have a lot of debt. Mm-hmm. They have good cash flow. But now, like you said, their earnings are falling. Is that because of the strong dollar?
Well, but return to equity is low. I mean, it's at 10%. Mm-hmm. I mean, that to me is too low.
Yeah, they're repurchasing shares, and you know, at cheap price, that's not too bad. Yeah. It just doesn't excite me. I'll give it a 6 out of 10 if I was going to rate it, but that's about it.
Yeah, the only way it's going to go up is because of that repurchase. It's buying $2 billion worth of their shares, which is about a little less than 10%. That's pretty big buying.
Yeah,
but again, it's hard for me to get excited about that. 888-99-CHART is our number. Let's go talk to Emilio in Orange County. He wants to talk about Apple Computer, you know, everybody's favorite stock.
You know they dropped the computer part of their name, right?
Well, I call them Apple
Computer. I know you do. But
Apple.
It's just Apple. Apple Inc.
How you doing, Emilio?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
How you doing, Emilio?
I'm beautiful. How
are
you guys doing?
We're doing good, and we still like Apple. We still like it. How far?
Well, I just want to know if someone is an Apple investor, should they be nervous right now?
No.
I mean, it depends on, are you looking short-term, long-term? Short-term, medium-term, sure. Yeah, I think this could drop below 100. But,
oh, wow.
You know, but, yeah, I mean, it's at one. Was that
it drops below 100, Emilio, so I'm going to buy more.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably, I think a 95 is a good area where we'll probably find a lot of support, and that's where I'd be picking it up.
It's got a 12 PE. The five-year average is 10 to 17. It's at 12. Mm-hmm. But if you base it on next year's earnings, you're going to make $10.73. It's a $108 stock. So now the PE is going to be 10. That's its low for the five-year average. Return on equity,
wow.
Return on equity is 46%. Mm-hmm. Huge. Sales are growing in the mid-20s. Earnings are growing between 6 and 10% a year.
Mm-hmm. I think their growth is going to slow just sheerly based on size.
Yeah.
They're just such a lot. I mean, $51 billion per quarter in sales. I mean, you know, they do trailing 12 months, they've done $233 billion in sales. That is massive. To grow that type of company is extremely hard. They have a lot of market share already in a lot of areas of technology space. And they're finding new ways and new products to roll out, and I think they'll slowly grow over time, but it's certainly going to be a lot slower. And to me, this is just a long-term play. I mean, as long as you believe in Apple and its ecosystem, and that's going to still be a dominant player in the technology space, this will still be a great company long-term. But as every company is at the whims of the market, if the market pulls back, the economy
right.
gets worse. Certainly, Apple's going to suffer in the short to medium term, but that's just to me an opportunity in the long term.
It should be trading at market PEs. It should be because it's got all the fundamentals in place that tells you it should even be higher than that. Mm-hmm. Well, market PE is around 15. Okay, then if you back out all the cash, the PE is much lower than 12.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know. I can't see how, in the short term, next year or two or three, I can't see how you can go wrong. Now, will it go back up to $133 a share? I think it will.
Maybe it's two or three years from now. It's hard to know exactly the time frame.
I don't know when. No one knows.
So what type of investor are you, Emilio? You want short or long?
Long term.
Long term?
I mean it. I'm going swimming. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Then just put it away. You're going to be fine. It's going to make money.
If it gets down to 95, maybe buy a little
more. Buy more.
Wow.
Thanks, Emilio. So appreciate the call.
Happy holidays, guys.
You too.
Thank you. Emilio's, I know Emilio's. He's from Greece, you know, back here in the U.S. 888-99 chart, rate increase by the Fed. Now what? Did you know that the four of the last five Federal Reserve cycles, the dollar peaked before the first movement up in the rate? Now,
so far, that's been the case. Actually, the dollar depends on what you look at, but the dollar basically peaked earlier this month.
Yes.
By the beginning.
So who knows what that is? It's only 0.25 basis points, everybody. How much impact is that going to have on anything? The only thing is the impact on people's psyche. That's the only impact, and that could be an issue, but that's all it is. The 10-year Treasury is at 2.29. Okay, I think it went to... I think it's 2.29.
It's down a little bit today, but yeah.
Okay, that's exactly where it was at the beginning of the year. So what? Nothing's happened there. How about the 30-year mortgage? It went from 3.95 to 3.97% today. Okay, well, beginning of last year, it was like 4.5%.
Mm-hmm.
What's the big deal? Fundamentally, you know, there's nothing that it's done that changed anything.
Well, it's all about liquidity. And when the Fed raises rates, it takes liquidity out of the market. So that's really the issue. Can the market handle less liquidity? And, you know, so far...
It has had less liquidity because we stopped QE last year.
That's true, yeah. But can it handle even more or less liquidity?
Well, I think it's more about... How fast are they going to raise rates? And is this a one and done? Is it one and they're going to...
I don't think they touch rates for 6 months.
I think that's a little long. I think that within the next 3 months, I'll probably give it another quarter point, unless something changes in the economy.
Well,
they might lower rates.
Yeah, because today they announced it yesterday, the rate rise. Yeah. But today was the day they actually did it. They didn't do it yesterday. They did it today.
Yeah.
They so is today's sell-off an indication of, you know, things to come because now rates are higher? The first reaction to it? That's the question.
And don't expect your savings rate to go up. Don't. Yeah, it might get you 0.1% more.
You mean your savings account?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Don't get too excited about that either. Okay. The new year is time, a kind of a push for the reset button, everybody, to start fresh for the new year. So get your house in order. Maybe start, you know, a new exercise program. Maybe take a look at your new, you know, a new health routine that you want to get into. Maybe look at your 401k and say, am I in the positions I want? Rebalance.
Get your financial house in order, too.
Yeah. And maybe set up a budget. Maybe that's time for that. Have you ever set up a budget? It doesn't have to be horrendous task, you know. Mm-hmm. So try to do something. Let's, you know, maybe you want to sit down with me and Justin about your portfolio, or even if it's about, you know, real estate or insurance or whatever you want to talk about financial, we'll talk about it. So why don't you give us a meeting? All you have to do is go to investtalk.com, click on schedule a meeting. You can do it, and that will bring you, give us an email directly to us and just ask, and we'll be in touch and set it up for you.
What are the strategies and tools the professionals use to grow and protect money? Steve and Justin give you an inside look at how the pros do it in a one-hour webinar you can play anytime. When you're an InvestTalk insider, sign up for free on investtalk.com.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Sharon from Denver, Colorado. I listen to your show all the time. It's awesome. Quick question. Can you go over how they do capital gains in terms of harvesting losses and gains over a period of time and maybe some software that can help you do that? Again, thanks so much. Make it great.
I don't know if there's any software to help you do that, unless it's already, you know, in your, wherever you're trading, whoever's your custodian.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to know whether you've made or lost money on it. And when you're harvesting, you're usually harvesting losses, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to force yourself to take capital gains.
You would not do that.
Unless there's some weird reason.
And you got to make sure you understand short-term versus long-term capital mm-hmm. gains and capital losses. You got to, and realized versus unrealized. And, you know, if you don't know what all that means, what I've just said, then you need to call and mm-hmm. talk to me or talk to Justin, and we can explain it. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's really not a hard thing to do. It's really quite simple. But you still have to know the terminology and know mm-hmm. what you're doing.
Yeah. And remember, if it's an IRA or a tax-deferred account, that stuff doesn't matter. It's all about taxable accounts.
Yeah. So don't think you can take losses in an IRA and apply it to gains in a non-IRA account. You can't do that. No. So it's that kind of thing. And it's just a matter of gathering the knowledge. There's no software out there unless it's built into your... You know, the software is usually built into your custodial, whoever the custodian is, your broker.
Yeah,
you know, it's usually built in there. And by the way, they're required by law to send you a realized gain and loss report or a 1099. Is it what it is, Justin? 1099. Yep. But you know, in the new year, to tell you what your gains and losses were, they're supposed to do it for you. Just so you know. 888-99-CHART is our number. Love to talk to you. Budgeting does not have to be a bad word, everybody. Now, you've heard us talk about investing time before, investing your money, that time can be used to gather knowledge. It can also be used to create a plan that will serve as a foundation of your success in investing and growing your retirement accounts and become financially independent. Everybody wants to be financially independent. But, you know, and retiring is not necessarily stop working. It's just stop doing what you have to do and go do what you want to do. But the first step to all that is you got to plan. What is your plan?
Plan and act. Acting is just as important as planning.
Yeah, you can't just come up with a plan and then do nothing, which many people do. Mm-hmm. You got to figure out. And acting could be as simple as, well, I'm going to contribute more to my 401k. And just do it. Set it up and do it. But at least do something about that. You know, maybe there's a bunch of apps that can help you with this. Justin is very, very, very app happy. He's got about 250 of them on his phone.
Oh, not that many, but okay, but yeah, there's a lot of great software out there that you can download to help you organize a budget. And the big question is, what is budgeting? Well, basically, it's understanding where your spending comes from and how you can control it. Because Steve and I talk about this all the time. Most people have a spending problem, yep, not an earning problem. Most people say, well, I need to earn more. Well, that's true, but if you have a spending problem, if you earn more, you're just going to go and spend that money, and you're still going to have financial problems. So getting your spending under control and having a perspective on it so that you can be more disciplined about it is the first step to having to achieving both short and long-term goals.
Yeah, spending is an issue. You know, I know a lot of people, everyone wants a new car. I want a new car, but I don't buy one. I could, but I don't, because I don't like to buy assets, or I don't like to buy things that depreciate. I like to buy things that appreciate. And then everything else, I'm not a big spender. I just don't care. I don't need to have the latest gadgets.
Is that why you haven't bought that R8?
That's right. I like it. I want it. But I can't bring myself to spending that kind of money, writing that check. I just can't. I can't do it.
On a depreciating asset.
Yeah. So really, as Justin said, you know, spending is the side that you got to concentrate and slow down. And there, you can see an article about budgeting on investopedia.com. So if you want more information. And the talking point reference, we have an article on investtalk.com that you can read it. So if you're interested. That's InvestTalk Personal. I'm registered investment advisor Steve with Justin Klein today. Both registered investment advisors. You can ring our number right now at 888-99-CHART. So give us a call.
Hi, this is Tim. I'm calling from Boston, and I listen to you on podcast. I'm calling about Stericycle. That's STCL, Stericycle. And I'm looking at buying Stericycle. I think that they've got pretty good earnings. I'm just looking at this for a buy point. Thanks. I'll listen to you on podcast.
I think he's it's SRCL.
SRCL. That's exactly what he's talking about.
Stericycle, Inc. SRCL. Provides regulated waste management and related services to hospitals, blood banks, pharmaceutical companies. Used to be a pretty big company. I mean, it used to be a really high-priced company a number of years ago. Even last year, it was, 2014, $134 a share.
Yeah, it's really come down this month. Was at $150 a share. Early in the month, now it's at $118. So that's so quite the drop.
He's trying to buy a bottom, pick a bottom.
Yeah, well, it's at support. It's at the 200-day moving average. So I kind of like what he's looking at. But why did it fall so much? Yeah, is that just earnings?
That would be my first question. Why did it fall so much? Just so you know, it's going to make $5.08 next year after making $4.38 this year. Mm-hmm. It's still growing its sales. Their growth is slowing down over the last five or six quarters. Mm-hmm. But my gut feeling is something happened with earnings that's why it collapsed.
I like the company. I would just say this is high risk at the moment after this big drop, and it says it's not showing a lot of signs of life that it's going to rebound quickly.
Yeah.
So
I'd
be patient with it.
Yeah, be patient. Any money questions, welcome everybody. 888-99-CHART and get through to us right now. $888-99-CHART is our number. I read an article today, and I thought I might want to share it with you. This has nothing to do with investing. It has everything to do with lifestyles. That 70-90% of all cancers are due to your lifestyle choices.
Makes sense.
And they're talking about all kinds of cancers. Lung cancer, for instance, is the easiest one. It's smoking and air pollution.
Yep.
That's what causes the cancer. A little bit more breast cancer. It's all about oral. It substantially increases. They're not sure. For instance, lung cancer is 90% of all lung cancers are caused by smoking and pollution.
Yes.
Whereas breast cancer is just substantial. They don't know how much. But oral contraceptives, hormone replacement therapies, and diet, smoking, alcohol, and weight. Now, all
that,
these other...
That contributes to breast cancer.
Breast cancer. Now, when I read through this list, I'm going to tell you, diet, smoking, alcohol, and weight hits most of the bad things that causes these cancers. That's like what's the main factor in causing a lot of cancers.
Mm-hmm.
So we all got to stop smoking. That seems like a pretty easy thing to do.
Yep.
We got to eat better and quit being fat.
Pretty straightforward.
I mean, that's all. Because it's saying that.
What I'm trying to figure out is this is a revelation. It's not a revelation to me.
Well, this was a study. You know, everybody thinks this is true. You know, how you, you know, just, you know, the logic is there in your mind. Well, of course, that's probably why. But knowing, but you don't know for a fact until you start doing some studies and check out what really is happening. And that's what they determined.
You're just saying they proved the fact that good lifestyle affects different types of cancers in different ways. It's not all treated the same.
That's right. We're talking about thyroid cancer, kidney cancers, and the different things and different causes. And they were given percentages of what they feel is the factors that cause.
So you're saying the health trends that are going on now are justified.
Well, what they will do is they will reduce cancers in the future. Should.
I hope so. No, I mean, that's the main goal. I mean, that's one of the reasons why, obviously, study shows why we have such a high prevalence of cancer in this country, because we're obese and we smoke and, you know.
Well, we stopped smoking a long time ago. I mean, you know, much less than we used to. So, but that, now I know a lot of Asian countries are very heavy smokers. And, of course, you got all that pollution going on in China. That's going to cause
a lot of cancer. But they eat a little better.
They do eat better, and they're underweight. They're not That's overweight, true. Most That's of them. True. Let's go to Bill in Hayward. How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing well, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Go ahead.
I wanted to hear your opinion on Pandora. I know they've just gotten some recent good news. I'm holding some shares in a long-term a diversified portfolio. I just want to get your take on their business model, and is it, do you think it's worth holding for the long term?
Pandora Media, everybody, offers personalized streaming music based on analysts of user and listener behavior via Pandora.com and mobile software. It's a great company as far as I think the business model is sound. It's a $3.2 billion company. Sales are pretty strong in the 30% area the last couple of quarters. But it's really expensive as a stock.
Yeah, too expensive. That's your main issue. I think they'll survive, but they're just way too expensive for the amount of sales they have and their profitability. You know, this is a space that is competitive and isn't only getting more competitive.
That would be my biggest worry.
Everyone's moving to streaming, and now Pandora was the kind of the original. You know, they were the original internet radio or mobile radio service out there. And I used to use Pandora a lot. I subscribed to Pandora One, and I canceled it because I got Spotify. Because Spotify I like better, and I can pick my song, or I can do radio. So,
and we know that Apple's getting into it big time.
Exactly. Apple just launched their service. So I think long term, you're going to have a lot of trouble making money long term on Pandora at these valuations.
I don't think
levels.
It's a long term.
So I would use this as a opportunity to either cut back or sell all of it.
Yeah. Sorry, Bill. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Our hour's up, everybody. Remember, you can see a long list of books that we recommend to help you gain knowledge and perspective about managing money and investing. Maybe there's a gift idea in there. Just go to our recommended books on InvestTalk.com. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley with Justin Klein today. And for everyone at KPP Financial, we want to thank you for listening, and let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-400-8400. 877-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.